Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 74 of ZK Live. Tonight, we had my good friend, Nick. I'm not going to try to pronounce his last name. It's a very long group of word letters that I never can pronounce. I've never even tried to say it in my head. I just call him Nick from NWR. He's an awesome guy. We're going to bring him right on. He was one of my first guests many moons ago. Hello, sir.
Hey, man. How are you?
What's up?
Not much. How was your day?
It was a good day. It was productive. Tuesdays are my day in the office, so
okay.
Maybe not my favorite day, but a day that I get a lot done. So.
Okay. Tuesday's an office day, huh?
Tuesday's an office day. There it is.
Cool. Nice.
Nick, where are you right now?
I'm in my living room.
And is that your art or your children's art?
Oh, that's mine. Quality. No, that's my kids. My kids, I let them paint on the walls because I'm going to tear all these walls out eventually anyway. So, yeah.
Dude, your kids live the life.
Yeah, it's pretty fun. I'm not going to lie. It's great. So,
I think everyone enjoys watching you on Instagram because clearly just have a lot of fun.
Yeah, we do. Actually, we're leaving on Friday for 12 or 13 days. I'm taking them on a road trip in the truck, and we're going to the coast. So we're excited.
So cool, man.
Yeah, my daughter is so excited. I'm stoked too, man. We're just picking all these spots to like stop and camp along the way, and we're going to go climbing and stuff. So it's going to be good.
So how in the world are you able to do that? That's what we're going to talk about a lot tonight. So you're about to kick off. How?
That's a good question. I have a real passion for, well, obviously hanging out with my kids, but also rock climbing. I just make it happen, man. I don't know. Like, I was feeling pretty tired a few months ago. And then I knew we were having a lot of work coming up. Last month was honestly just brutal. I think I worked 70 hours a week for 4 or 5 weeks straight. Felt pretty tired, but yeah, 2 or 3 months ago, I started planning it. So I basically called, you know, we worked for probably a dozen different contractors, and I started calling all the contractors 2 or 3 months ago. And I said, do these dates work for you? And, you know, they all pretty much said yes, because it was like 2 or 3 months out. So like, they can't really say no when the time comes around, because you've communicated it. So, so that's it. And then, we planned on shutting down the company completely for these 2 or 3 weeks, but, I think three of the people want to keep going. So I booked a couple weeks of work for them, just simple repaints. And, so they'll keep going. And, they're really great, employees, great people, and they'll have no problem doing stuff on their own. So yeah.
Yeah. What does your team look like today? What's it made up of?
That's a good question. The team right now, we have a lot of experience on our team right now. It's the best team I've ever had. So I have one guy that's got, and when I tell you the years of painting, it's not like I've been painting for 20 years, you know, like I painted my house 20 years ago. These people actually have, yeah. So one guy's got, I think, 21 years of experience. The other guy has 27 years of experience. And then Kyle has like 9 or 10 years of experience with me alone. And then myself and the two guys that I have on kitchens right now, they're my kitchen team. They have the least amount of experience, but they're actually killing it. Like I think we've done about 10 kitchens together, and they've done the last two on their own. I've just showed up just to oversee the finished coat go on. And it's been amazing. So they're great. I think they've got about 2 years of experience each. And but they're just great people. And Lorene, who just started, she's actually upstairs right now. She's doing paperwork. Are you still here? Yeah, she's still here. So I gave her like two big bags of papers that I've been procrastinating on for the last 3 years. And then, so she's been doing that, and she's also learning how to paint. So she's been a great asset to the team as well. Again, just another great, great human being. So our team has really great human beings on it. And that's really what I'm looking for. So experience or no experience, I don't care to have, you know, I get emails like, yeah, I've got 20 years of experience, but you know, you can't phone me because my phone's disconnected. I'm like, yeah, no thanks. Yeah. Can't handle that kind of stuff anymore. So
Wow. So the guys you have on cabinets, the 2 years experience, did it come in your company or it's 2 years generally?
With me.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what system are you using on cabinets?
What system?
Like coding system.
Yeah, mostly like, so we basically have two products that we use for cabinets. We either use the 2K polys like everyone else. That would be 80% of our cabinet jobs, probably maybe 70%. And then for the higher end stuff, we use a solvent coating. I really, really love it. I encourage people to try it. I don't know why more people aren't using, but it's called ChemLife 24. It's a ChemCraft product and it is a conversion varnish. But it's a bit of a hybrid between a post-cat and a conversion varnish. So it's a CV that has a bunch of like NC added to it. So you really feel a silkier, smoother. It looks more regal than a regular CV does. I love it. I guess technically it's not as durable, but it's like, it's right there. So I could care less if it's like, you know, a couple percent less durable and it's that much better to look at and feel. So and it's how really, really, really pretty. What's that?
How is it to apply?
Oh, it's the easiest. It's so easy. Yeah. Any solvent through air-assisted airless is really easy. We use the vinyls on as our primer on all our cabinets. And if we need to use anything after the vinyl, which is pretty rare, like say we're doing a set of pine cabinets and you know it's got a lot of texture, we'll do a coat of vinyl and then we'll just start building up the water-based primer after that. And we'll sand it back and then we'll do the 2K poly on top. But typically it's one coat of vinyl, one coat of finish, and then we're done. And that's it.
And what's your go-to vinyl sealer?
It's ChemCraft, for sure. And I'll tell you this as well. This is my secret, but it's not really a secret. But a lot of people like the Exalta, and they say it sounds like a dream. I just completely disagree. I don't know how you're getting that to sound like a dream. I might not be using the right abrasives or whatever, but the ChemCraft vinyl sealer is very gummy as well, but you can catalyze it 3% with their 999 catalyst. And when you do that, it sands like a surfacer. So it really is surprising. So we will add that catalyst. You know, it is a hassle because you only get the 8-hour pot life with it, but it makes a huge difference. So the vinyl, it won't build quite as much as a surfacer will, but for refinishes, it's obviously the best initial coat to put on.
God.
Lou's texting me right now.
Of course he is.
Don't worry, I won't give it all away, Lou.
Oh man, he holds on tight.
He's one of my best friends, man.
I know, he's amazing.
It was his birthday yesterday.
What's that?
It was his birthday yesterday.
Oh my gosh.
He's probably my best friend that I've never met.
I really enjoy Lou from Pen Painting.
Yeah, me too.
You know, whenever I'm driving, I make the phone call. What's up, man?
Yeah. So, anyway, a lot of people are using vinyl. Like, that's no secret at all. I don't want to tell people that my favorite vinyl sealer is ChemCraft and then go use it and have their sandpaper gum up. So I'm just going to be honest and say that we catalyze it. The difference for me was one piece of sandpaper per door to two pieces of sandpaper per 50 doors. That was the difference. That was the difference with 3% catalyst. So
that's amazing. Now, is that something they recommended to you or you just tried it yourself?
Yeah, I talked to my distributor and I said, look, like I'm having problems with like everybody keeps saying these vinyls sand so well. And I couldn't get them to sand well. So, cause I always used to use,
He said, shut up.
So
we're spilling all the beans tonight.
Yeah, so anyway, I just called and he's like, oh, maybe you should try the catalyst because it's like, he was like, oh really, that's surprising, it sands well. But you know when you're doing samples in a shop and you like sand like 4 square inches, like it's not the same. So so he said try it, and I tried it and I was blown away. So yeah,
that's amazing. Mm-hmm. So you guys are ChemCraft, is that a Canadian brand?
Well, they're owned by Axel Nobel now. So that's they used to be quite a high-end coat. Like ChemCraft never used to actually be a high-end coating, but ever since Axel Nobel bought them out, like you know, Becker's was made by ExxonMobil and all these higher end companies. So I've noticed like ChemCraft here apparently has the most durable pre-cut on the market right now. And we use it all the time and I'm very happy with it. It's great. It's a very simple system to use. Like all of their catalyst is like universal with all their products. So it's the same catalyst that catalyzes the vinyl as it does the ChemLife 24, as it does the post-cut, as it does the pre-cut. Like you can catalyze the pre-cut 3% as well if you want, and that gives it extra durability and all these things. So
that's awesome.
And it's all 8 hours. Like the math is really simple, so it doesn't confuse the team too much. We don't have to grab all these different containers. It's just one. We try and keep things really streamlined and simple. The ChemLife 24 that I was talking about, one of the reasons I liked using it is because it's a 24-hour CV, which is unique. Usually they're 8 hours. But you have to use a special catalyst to make it 24 hours. But again, that's confusing, right? So I just say, well, let's just deal with the 8-hour situation and use that one catalyst. And we catalyze it at, yeah, whatever percentage it is, it's 8%. And then we keep it simple like that.
And you're most often you're doing a one coat of primer, one vinyl sealer, one top coat.
That's right.
That's awesome.
So we do, we set up the Festool inspection lights, one on each side of the door and then right at the right height. And then that way you can do all your preliminary filling and stuff. And it's very rare after the first coat of vinyl that we'll need anything. But if we do, it's pretty minor and it'll be small and the finish coat will just cover it anyway. If it's big, we'll spot prime it, but it's pretty rare. Yeah.
That is one of the things that we're going to be talking about. That's one of the answers to the question I'm going to ask. But my big question tonight is how the heck are you so efficient? I think, Nick, you run one of the most efficient painting companies I've ever seen. And the information I know about you guys, like when you go to work and work 8 hours, what gets done in that 8 hours, I would put up against anybody else in the country.
Oh, thanks.
Or in North America, because you're in a different country.
That's fine.
And so I want to sort of dive into how that happened. And maybe why. Well, why does it happen first? I think those answers are probably be simpler.
Because I want to spend my time on the job, man.
Exactly.
I want to go climbing.
You're rock climbing. Yeah.
So, I mean, it's just the quality of life thing, right? And I want that for my team as well. So really my goal with our company is physically, mentally, and financially sustainable here. So I keep trying to, we have the highest wages in the town for painters. And I like to keep it that way. And I want to keep them going up as well. So the only way they're going to go up is if everybody's more efficient. And it's really, really simple things a lot of the time. Like it's not, you know, if you go out to your car and if you don't take something with you, then I'll be pissed. You know, like something that doesn't need to be on the site anymore, you know, like those types of things, like just, you know, it's hard because like your brain has to always be working, but you're at work anyway. So, you know, that's what you're doing.
Yeah. So the impetus is more free time and you have more free time. You take more time off from work than any painter I know. And again, I think that's very impressive because you make a great living and your company provides a great living for a number of people while you manage to not work while taking extended periods of time off.
Right.
Which is not necessarily standard in our industry.
No, it's very, it's really hard to do for sure. And you know, sometimes, and like this, you know, I learned a lot of this from you guys as well with like Instagram as well. Like this is one of the things that helps our job security. So I feel comfortable, like we did a kitchen a week for the last few months. And I feel comfortable telling people that we're no longer doing kitchens anymore because it's summer and I'm going climbing and I don't have the time to oversee them. And the other guy that does the kitchens, he's a climber too. And you know, he's taking lots of time off. So we're booking kitchens for November and I know that we'll be booking them. We've already started. So, but that comes from
flex.
What's that?
It's such a flex. I love it.
Well, it comes from marketing, right? And just being like professional. So if you make yourself, yeah, it's like you're doing a great job, right? Like if you make yourself in demand, then you'll feel more comfortable. But I haven't always felt that way. Like I used to feel very insecure about doing it. And I'd take lots of time off and I'd be nervous about coming back. And sometimes it was really hard. But now I'm constantly learning. I'm getting better, you know, like I've switched my kitchens to exterior jobs. So now we have, I think, 15 new houses to do from now till the new year. Like, that's new construction interior stuff. And those are super hard to schedule. So then you throw a bit of exterior in there, and those are easy because you can push those months to stuff. Like, you can push the months in every direction. Nobody cares really most of the time. So it becomes like a more flexible way of running your company. And then, yeah.
And so that's what you're doing with kitchens as well, you're saying?
What's that?
Are you saying that you're moving kitchens around like you move exteriors around?
No, I'm saying I can't move kitchens around.
Yes.
And that's okay. That's why we're not doing them for the summer.
I see.
So the summer is when I like to take most of my time off. And don't get me wrong, I'll still be working, but I'll probably only work for like 3 hours in the morning, and then I'll go climbing for the rest of the day. And I'll probably do that most of the time for probably a couple months. And then, as soon as it starts snowing again in the fall, I'll be right back, like the switch will turn, and I'll be right back into like, do whatever I, take on whatever I can.
So for those people who don't know, can you just give me like a background of how your company got to here, how you kind of got started, and how you're able to tell people, I'm not doing kitchens right now? Because you can't do that. If you're a 2-year-old company, it's going to be pretty tough to tell clients, be able to go, hey, here's when I'll do in a kitchen and here's when I won't.
Sure. Yeah. Okay. okay. So I started my company 21 years ago. My dad was a painter for 48 years. He just retired. He was a kitchen finisher actually as well. And, basically I worked like 6 months of the year, very hard and a lot of hours. And then I'd take time off, and then I'd keep doing that, but I would just come back and do repaints mostly. So it wasn't too stressful. And I didn't have a family, and I lived in a van for probably 12 years. So that's how I saved up a lot of money to buy a house and stuff like that. I ran a company out of a van and a storage locker. And then I had kids and started branding and being a little more marketing conscious. So now it definitely feels like I have something on my shoulders. That's for sure. Like when I go away for 2 weeks, like it's not going to feel like it used to be when I'd hit the road and go to the States and like that everything was gone. So now I still have a company.
Yeah.
I don't know if that feeling will ever come back. Maybe if I sell a company one day, but for now I'm just learning how to deal with it better. So what I'm trying to get at here is if you're a 2-year-old company, I think what you should strive for is making yourself like anybody can do good work. Okay. Anybody can deliver a flawless finish. Okay. I can perform brain surgery if someone gave me 20 years to do it. They'd probably die, but I could still do it. Okay. Like if you go into someone's house and you're super fast and super clean and like, it's like not too physically demanding or mentally demanding on you, then your clients are going to be so impressed and you're going to be in high demand. So basically I'm trying to come up with I'm telling you, man, we spray vinyl sealer in people's living rooms every week and they're sitting there watching TV. It's no joke. And like, they can't smell anything. So we've come up with these great ways of doing things. And, as part of our reviews, like people can't believe it. And they're like, yeah, it's great. They're doing our kitchen in their living room. And, so we're just trying to create a way to make ourselves in demand.
Yeah. And that's, how did you learn how to do that? Did that just come naturally or was it a lot of pain?
No, so my dad was a kitchen finisher and, he still does he did the best work I've still seen to date. You know, it was classic, like pre-catalyzed through a conventional gun, many coats, like very tight to the wood coatings, like beautiful stuff. And it's not like what you see today. He basically told me I'd never be able to finish kitchens on site. So then all of a sudden I was like, okay, well, whatever, game on. So I guess I have him to thank for it.
It's funny what happens when when our back's up against the wall or we, that pressure comes in. You're like, watch what I can do.
Totally, totally. He's like, you got to get a shop and you got to get this. And I was like, I mean, I don't know if you're familiar with where we live, but it's like the Boulder, Colorado of the U.S. And, we just started a climbing gym here and, our overhead's 15 grand a month. So it's for 2,000 square feet. It's very expensive here. So I don't want a shop. Want a shop.
Hence not having a shop.
Yeah. So
somebody asked, assuming you have a bookkeeper and an office manager.
No.
And you have what, 6 employees?
Right now we have, yeah, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yeah, 6 and myself. So 7. 7 of us.
7 painters.
Yeah.
And how do who does your books?
Like my accountant.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, yeah, so I guess I have a bookkeeper, yes. Yeah. So she has like my credit card. Basically, it's all just credit card. Everything's credit card, and she just keeps track of everything. And my taxes are always paid before, you know, I make the installments, and like taxes are now, but I'm already paid because I paid throughout the year, that kind of thing. So
yeah.
it's all fairly organized that way. And all I do is I just do estimates and invoice. That's all I do.
That's awesome. And would you say that your average job size is fairly large?
Yeah, I'd say right now they're probably around 15 grand, 10 to 15 grand.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, that's maybe not large talking to you, but it's large in a general scope.
I think for a residential repainter or just an average paint contractor, residential, I would say that's fairly large.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I think so. Like, I mean, this week, what did we do? We did a kitchen. We did another $15,000 job and another, I'm doing a $5,000 fireplace. We'll probably bill like $30,000 this week, I think.
Yeah. So, and then you mix in some of your new construction, which are larger projects generally.
They are, yeah. So we just do a base rate of $10 a square foot for new construction. So generally, if it's a 4,000 square foot house, it's $40,000.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
We need to team up. If I had your efficiency, man, is we can sell jobs for good, great prices, but
I'm sure.
I have not gotten nearly as efficient as you are yet. We're working on it though.
Well, and I don't understand, like, you know, like we have people from Calgary coming in and doing new construction for $3 a square foot, and I can't wrap my head around it. I'm like, I can't afford to buy the paint really for that. So I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't.
Well, those two things can't even be compared, right? What they're doing and what you're doing.
I don't think, you know, it's someone that's working by themselves, maybe happy making 25 bucks an hour, happy not paying their taxes. Maybe it's like that type of deal. And then they see the number of like, you know, 13 grand to paint a $4,000 house. They're like, wow, 13 grand. It's like, that actually goes nowhere in business right now. Like nowhere. So yeah, if you're a legit company, yeah, you really need to make sure that we need to make $65 an hour as a business per person. And then for kitchens, I try 100, and for plaster, I try 100 to 150. Because that's usually myself. So yeah,
that's awesome. So you guys, with the new constructions, that would then even make your average job size even higher. So what I'm getting at is then you're not going and doing constantly setting up and breaking down and setting up and breaking down. You at least have a little time on each job, so you don't have to. Yeah. Do your people? Like, do you have work vans or do your people transport the stuff themselves? How do you move stuff from job to job?
So right now we only have my truck and another work van, and that's Kyle's. So he takes everything. Basically, everybody sort of agreed that they're okay, like just taking like one sustainer full of hand tools in their car. But I'm getting another vehicle because it's just becoming too much. So I'm just getting another van.
So that's what I've been expecting.
Basically one vehicle per two people is ideal, I think.
Yeah.
So, and I'm not there yet. And I just, like, I'd buy one tomorrow. I just haven't had time to sit down and like look for one. So yeah.
I'm trying to buy another van and these guys are not making it easy. And I'm like, I'm trying to buy this vehicle from you. You haven't done anything except for just sell it to me and you won't call me back. What the heck?
That sucks.
And I've been trying, I've had a van for a month that's still, will be registered on Friday, finally. But the DMV is tough.
Yeah. I'm glad Josh agrees with me. 10 bucks a square is right.
Yes, yeah. I tell GCs now that we don't want to do for $20 a square foot. Yeah.
Yeah, and it depends. Like we've done houses for $30 and $40 a square foot, but you know we've done plaster throughout those houses. Or there's like, but I'm $10 a square foot is like a 1x4 casing.
That's my point to that is like right now we have so much demand for what we do that I have a competitive advantage at the $20 to $40 a square foot range. And at the $10 to $15 square foot range, there's probably 10 companies in Boston that could do that just fine.
Yeah.
And I'm like, honestly, I'm not special at the $10 to $15 a square foot price. But I can offer you something above that that is actually special.
Yeah.
And so that's where I just have decided to start saying no ahead of time if they don't think they want to spend more than 15.
Okay. Yeah.
Just because of bandwidth.
Yeah. Yeah. Makes sense.
But you guys produce work so fast that it doesn't really matter what you're doing.
I don't know if we're that fast. I mean, I think we're efficient, but yeah.
I think that let's talk some more about your efficiencies. Where else do you find efficiencies?
Okay. So, you mind if I just send a text real quick?
Yeah. Oh,
is that okay?
That's fine. I'll sit here and juggle for everybody. I'm juggling, for all you listening. I'm not actually juggling, for anyone who is listening, because I can't juggle. But, no.
You there?
I'm here. It's loading back up.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Well, it wants to load back up. There it is.
Okay. Boom. Sorry. I think I've done a lot over the, like, I mean, I've always been the type of person to stay up, you know, late at night Googling products and finishes and doing research, and I've done a lot of R&D, let's put it that way. And I basically try and eliminate all redundant steps. I'll give you a good example. I posted a video not too long ago of us sealing up some oak doors, white oak doors. We just had like a round Merca sander and a square Merca sander, and Kyle and I were sanding them and sealing them. And, you know, it took probably an hour to do 35 doors, sanding. And then I got some comments saying, oh, you don't blow them off or you don't vacuum them. Well, no, I don't on the sealer coat. We sand them with the dustless sanders and then we seal them. And so what I've done is, like, you know, like, I'll do like high definition photos of things. So I do a high definition photo of a door that, you know, we've vacuumed the dustless sanding coat off before the sealer, and one where we didn't. And there's absolutely no difference whatsoever. So there's no reason to, you know, of course you're going to blow it off before the finish coat, but there's absolutely no difference in grain definition. There's no grain difference in finish quality. There's no difference in anything. So the dustless sanding takes care of the sealer coat, and we just spray it. And, you know, you've got an air assisted airless. There's some air, it might blow off the odd thing or whatever as you go, but you're going to sand that anyway. So you come back and sand it again, and then you blow it off and then you spray.
That's what I love about Nick. Cause yes, I watched that video and my initial reaction was, oh my God, he didn't clean off the floor. Like, the doors are dirty and he sprayed them. Right.
Right.
And at the end of the day, but I didn't question it. I never would, because I know you now. And I know, like, you know something I don't know.
Well, what I mean, there's nothing easier than clear coating white oak. That's the easiest thing you could possibly do in the finishing industry. A coat of sealer, a coat of finish. Like, you honestly, I vinyled those and I was like, maybe we should just leave them. They look so good. But obviously we didn't. But it's very, yeah, there's no difference. And if it was something else that needed that, then I would. I do what is necessary, and I don't compromise quality ever. So.
I know that. And that's why it was awesome watching you spray do that process, because I learned something.
Right.
And it changed the way I thought, because and I think this is a good point for a lot of people on social media. It's like, let's just assume that this person who made this video and posted this thing knows more about what's happening in this video than me sitting on my couch.
Right.
Like, just because, yeah, like, my first reaction was like, holy crap, they're not vacuuming these doors.
Yeah.
And then I was like, well, it's Nick. I know that he knows more than me in this situation. And obviously there's something going on here.
Right.
So it was awesome to hear you clear that up. But the real point here is, you did how many doors in an hour, or 2 hours of man hours?
27.
27 doors and 2 man-hours.
Mm-hmm.
That is like, that is something, man.
Yeah, we were moving. Like, you have to put the door deckers on them. So that took a few hours. And then once the door deckers are on them, we sanded them and sealed them. And then the next session was the exact same amount of time because I had the sander in my hand and I had the blow gun in my hand at the same time. So when both of us were done sanding, I'd blow and he'd spray. And then we finished them. I'm going to post the video. It was 2 minutes and 24 seconds per door, both sides.
Yes. So it's those kinds of things that inspire me to up my game and question, you know, what do I need to do? And what am I doing that's pointless or a waste of time? If it's getting the same finish, what do I care? Right? Mm-hmm. It's not about, well, this is how it should be. It's like, well, what works?
Mm-hmm.
It seems to me that you spent a lot of time figuring out what works.
Yeah, the R&D has been huge. And our new construction has been a challenge. But now we have a system for like our door frames that we can make. We can make our door frames look almost like a cabinet grade finish in a very short amount of time. And that's something that's really cool for us. Because we can still be competitive with prices, but deliver like 10 times the product that most companies are.
That's so how do you do that? Would you share?
Like rule of thumb is like, don't ever, I don't care what anybody says about the water-based finishes. Like you don't touch bare wood or MDF with water-based. It just doesn't work unless you're willing to wait overnight for it to dry, which I am not. So, and it needs some, and then they say, oh yeah, add the catalyst. And then all of a sudden you spray isocyanates everywhere and whatever. But so basically we spray the vinyl uncatalyzed. We don't catalyze it for the door frames or doors because you don't need to sand it. So we just seal, like we do our filling and caulking and all that sand. And then we spray the vinyl on everything. We usually do that on a Friday evening if we can. It's like one person, 1.5 hours to do a whole house. And then they leave and you come back on Monday and there's really no smell left. And then we just start, there's like a red glazing putty inspection process there. And we do that with LEDs perpendicular to the surface so that we don't miss a thing. And you usually do that in the darkness. If you do it in the light, then you're just wasting your time really. So if you do it in the darkness, you will see everything. And then just start building up the primer after that, build it up 3 coats probably. But 3 coats is like, you're talking 5 hours of spraying for a whole house. And then after that comes the final sanding, which takes a long time. So you go with your Merkus, like I was saying, Merkus sanders or whatever, and you sand while inspecting at the same time. And then you basically got this perfect door frame and then one finished coat and you're done. Yeah.
Boom.
So it's good. Yeah. Yeah. Kyle's been our door frame guy and he's just been like I was in putting the door frame protectors on it the other day and I was like touching them and I was like, holy fuck, man. Like I couldn't do this. Like he's awesome. Like he's fast too. Like I'm like, wow, it's crazy. So that's good.
Yeah. So how did you, these relationships that you have with DCs, how did they come about? How did you start working in the new construction world?
Oh, I started a long time ago. And this is a pretty small town. There's only like 12,000-13,000 people that live here. So you pretty much know of all the contractors in town. Whether you work for them or not, that you just kind of take your turn. But we've been working for most of them lately. And I think it's because we're delivering a good product quickly. And we stay on schedule. Like we're just, like if you're... Like if you're just a normal person that shows up on time and does a good job quickly, like you can get everything you want. Like it's crazy.
So yeah. True.
It's so not hard these days.
Yeah. It's the easiest market in the world to be good today.
For sure. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
So, yeah. So yeah, we feel very fortunate for all that stuff.
Yeah. I think that too often people are focused on painting and not on all the other things. The entire experience for the buyer, whether it's the GC or the client.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Like I said before, anybody can do a good job painting. Anybody. So
that's something you don't hear that too often, mm-hmm. but it's 100% true. Give me enough time. Like you said, give me 20 years. I'll perform brain surgery.
Sure. Yeah. Totally.
But how do we do it quickly and efficiently? And
That's awesome. So when you how are you finding your people?
The staff. I put ads in the newspaper. Yeah. And word of mouth. So, you know, like I started climbing with one of the guys and he just seems like a good kid and he was a maintenance guy at a hotel. And I was just like, well, have you ever thought about painting? Like, you seem like a good fit for our culture. You know, he likes doing videos and he likes, people really like him and everybody on our team, everybody really gets along with. So, I find it more important to just have a good team of people that fit into the culture of your company than anything. You can train anybody, right? If they're a decent human, you can train anybody on the tools. You can't train people to like show up on time and you can't train them to like deal with clients really well. And you can't train them to be part of a team and communicate with each other. We have a WhatsApp group for NWR painting and everybody's just on there all the time. Hey, have you seen this rare? Have you seen this? Have you seen that? And it's great. Like people are just, it's awesome. So it feels like a good team.
So what other things do you do to be efficient?
What other things do I do to be efficient? I guess I plan a lot. I plan a lot of stuff in my head and on paper and on my phone. I have two lists. One is on my phone and one is on paper, and they're both the same. But I need two of them for some reason. So, because sometimes I just don't look at my phone and sometimes I just don't look at the notepad. But I think technically that's working, right? So if I'm at home and I'm thinking about work, technically that's working. So, you know, maybe I'm not off as much as I think I'm off, but like the time that I'm at work is very efficient. Other ways to be efficient. I don't know, just trying to, like, I can be as efficient as I can, but if I have six other people that aren't efficient, like that doesn't help anything. So I'm trying to train all those people to think like I do as well. And Kyle's there. He's been, you know, 10 years with me or whatever. And so he's helping the rest of the team think like that as well. So yeah, like, you know, if you leave a job one night and you got to go to another job the next day, like don't just leave all your shit there. So you got to go back there and pick it up on your way to there the next day. Like be prepared for those types of things. Like, you know, to do a kitchen, there's a lot of things you need. And that's why we have a trailer. We roll up, it's a kitchen trailer and it's fully stocked and the guys know to keep it stocked. You know, if you're out of a measuring cup and you got to go to the paint store, you just lost an hour or half an hour. So, we try and be efficient with that sort of stuff. Have like the van is always stocked. The truck is always stocked with everything that you could always need.
No, I think I love what you said. I think more painters could think about what they're going to be doing more. Like we talk about it a lot here, and that's one of the things that makes us good is all the time we spend thinking about how we're going to go do what we're going to go do,
mm-hmm.
and not just showing up and doing.
Right. Yeah. Planning is good. And I'll say another thing, like one of the biggest things that I've noticed in my business, probably the most important tool as a painter is lighting. And so we have a lot of lighting and every employee has a rechargeable high powered headlamp that's 1800 lumens, which is a lot of light. This guy in Revelstoke makes the lightest, most powerful headlamps in North America. And so I ordered a bunch and they are awesome. So every night, everybody has to show up with their high powered headlamp recharged. And that really saves us time because we don't really go back for touch-ups very often. Like we've gone back for so few touch-ups. Like we just finished a 6,000 square foot duplex. And I called him and I was like, okay, so we'll be there Thursday to do our deficiency list. And he's like, yeah, it's not too bad. There's like four items. And I was like, fuck, that's amazing. You know? And it's just damages from putting up a light. Like it's not even our stuff. So it's fantastic. And I really owe that all to lighting.
Do you know what the name of that headlamp is?
Yeah, it's called, what's the guy? Yeah, I'll grab it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I highly recommend these because I've gone through a bunch of different headlamps. This is called Lynx OGT. And if you Google them, It's a guy in Revelstoke, or sorry, he's in Nelson, Canada. And if you know Nelson, it's kind of like a hippie pot smoking town. So this guy might not get back to you very quickly. But we got seven of these. I think they're about $200 Canadian each. And they're waterproof and stuff like that. So they're good for construction sites. And they're adjustable from like 400 to 2000. And anyway, they're really good. So at like 1,000 lumens, they'll last you an 8-hour day. And if you need 2,000 lumens, that'll last you 4 hours. So if you get them, I would just get an extra battery for each one in case you need 2,000 lumens of light a day. But if you're doing 2,000, like you don't even need a light. And you could be in the middle of winter and you could do anything. Like, you know, when I'm sanding ceilings, like flat sanding ceilings, sometimes I use it if I don't have a light sticking up perpendicular to the ceiling and stuff. So headlamps are a huge thing for us. Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
Any other things that you do that are, you think are help you be efficient?
Well, I don't use fine paints. Sorry. No, I would honestly love to, but it just, yeah, I tried for so long and it's just too, that's why we use the industrial products so much. Cause like when we do cabinets, we do front and backs of cabinets from primer to finish in a day. So like we mask and we set up on a Monday, we sand and clean, we clean and sand on a Tuesday, and then we spray everything on the Wednesday and we install on the Thursday. So there's only one day of spraying in someone's house, and that's the whole kitchen. Primer, finish, everything. Because the vinyl dries in 5 to 10 minutes. Like by the time you spray the back of the vinyl, you've flipped it already and sprayed the front. And then you can flip it again already and you can finish coat the back. And the back is the 2K poly. So you finish coat that and then you wait 3 hours or whatever, and then you can flip that and finish the front and then you're out of there.
What's your sanding schedule on that system?
So we'll sand, you mean like from start to finish?
Yeah.
So it depends on what we're sanding, but generally it's 180. We'll sand with 180, the cabinet doors. And most of the time, in all honesty, we don't clean them because the sanding will take care of it. Like it's a pretty aggressive sand. If it's like those old golden oak cabinets that are old, like, you know, we'll take some toothbrushes and the cleaner to the profiles and stuff. But if it's a shaker door, usually the sanding, we don't need to clean them. So we'll skip that step. That's another like efficiency thing. The sanding just takes care of it. Like if there's grime and stuff on the bottom of the door, like you don't need to clean it. You just run the sander over, it just rips it right off, like almost a bare wood, right? And you can tell it's totally clean. There's nothing there. So that saves a bit of time there. And then we spray the vinyl. And the fronts get a pretty good coat of vinyl, like a pretty good catalyzed coat of vinyl. The backs don't really get sanded too much. I just don't recommend it to people. I'm like, you're never going to see these. Like, we're just going to give them a sand. We'll give them a coat of vinyl and a coat of finish. And they're going to look 1,000 times better than they do now. And we'll fix some major stuff, but we're not going to inspect them like crazy. So, and the fronts, like all of our attention goes to the fronts.
Yep. So you spray your vinyl sealer on 180 sanded wood. Are you hand sanding all the profiles, all the details?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. If there are profiles, definitely. Yep. Everything gets sanded. Definitely.
Do you have a favorite?
What's that?
Do you have a favorite kind of sandpaper?
Well, yeah, I mean, we use the Abernet, just because, we use Mercus sanders. 3M has come out with a sandpaper called Cubitron. Have you used it?
Yeah.
It's remarkable. I don't notice a huge difference on the Cubitron between the Merca and the Cubitron on vinyl or on, well, we never really sand the poly anyway, but on the vinyl, or on bare wood. But I did notice a massive difference on oil paint, on fine paints. So Cubitron sanded fine paints 3 times faster and 3 times longer than Abernet.
Yeah.
But I don't notice a huge difference. What's that?
Abernet does not like the oil.
No, not at all. Not at all. But for the industrial coatings, I haven't noticed a huge difference. And I'm still kind of that's it, like an R&D stage for me, actually. So we have some Cubitron in our sustainers and I keep asking the guys, like, tell me what you think and blah, blah, blah. I haven't actually done the comparison myself, but that's another efficiency thing that I'd like to dial in better, is making sure we have the right sandpaper to make it the fastest and longest lasting possible. So the Cubitron's pretty aggressive though. So if you are standing with 320 and you're going to finish coat with like a 30 degree or something, you got to be careful for seeing the scratches.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So 180 vinyl sealer.
Yeah. Then 320.
Then 320. Mm-hmm. Do you sand the back, sand the fronts?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. The back of the door with 320, like a back of a shaker cabinet door would take 5 seconds to sand. Because you're just going done. That's it. So you're just sanding, you're just like creating a little bit of tooth on the vinyl, and you don't even need to really, but we just do it. I just don't want anything to fail.
Then do you hand sand your edge?
The edges?
Like the edges of the door?
Yep. Yeah. So you just run a block, you scratch the edge, like scratch the edge. We power sand the edges with the, like the initial step. So you take the Merc and power sand the edge, but then when you sand the vinyl, like you don't want to burn through the vinyl.
Yeah.
That's another thing is like we have spray bombs that we load up with the vinyl. So when we're done with the vinyl, the sprayer gets put away and then it gets taken out of the house. So there's like none of that vinyl smell left in the area. And then if somehow we do burn through a little bit, we have spray cans that we loaded up with vinyl. And so we'll just do a quick spot prime, but it's pretty rare. Because I really don't like the 2K poly touching anything that's not vinyl sealed.
Yeah.
It'll show. Especially on those edges. It just swells it differently. Like, I mean, the average person wouldn't care, but it drives me crazy.
Yeah. What are you spraying your vinyl sealer with?
The ED655. Yeah. We were spraying it with the... that's another good efficiency thing. We were spraying it with the... Merker pump, the air assisted airless, because I think that those spray solvent based coating better than any other sprayer. But we figured out a way to spray the vinyl very, very well with the ED655, but I can't tell you all that. Lou would kill me.
My next question was what tips, because 100 people are going to ask what tips.
you can message me if you want.
All right.
Yeah.
That's fair.
But yeah.
You're not adding air to that equation?
Not right now. Nope.
Okay.
No, and it's been, yeah. So, and that makes life a lot more simple too, right? Because you don't have to, I mean, we always have air on our kitchens because we don't like vacuuming. Vacuuming creates static electricity and you get more shit in your stuff. So we always blow things off right in front of the booth and we get the most dust-free finishes that way. And you also can just like get in the corners better. It's just more professional, right?
Yeah.
So we fire up the gas compressor and just blow things off always. And then when we're doing our ChemLife 24 kitchens, we need the compressor for the air assisted airless pumps. Or if we're spraying like spray stain, like we did that stains kitchen, we toned that kitchen island and did a black glaze and all that. You need a big compressor for that stuff.
So when you're spraying your chem, you're using a Merker and a Kremlin gun. Is that right?
Yep. Yeah, very easy to spray. Yeah, especially the clear. Like the clear is just so easy. You think you're like you feel like a god when you're spraying. You're like, wow, I'm so good. It's awesome.
So when you're spraying the 2K water based stuff,
yeah,
is that air assisted or airless?
Airless. Yeah, it's better.
Yeah,
it's better. I mean, it might not necessarily be better, but I think that from what I've seen and heard, like the guys spraying with the air assisted airless, they're spraying with enough fluid pressure and so little air pressure, it might as well be an airless.
Yep.
So that's my opinion, but.
Do you have a preferred water-based 2K?
We use ICA coatings. I haven't really tried many other ones. I tried EnviroLock. Wasn't too thrilled, to be honest. The ICA, I really like. I think it's nice. They have good primers, good products. But most of all, I have a really, really knowledgeable and good distributor. So if you have that and it's readily accessible, I could easily be using Renner right now, or I could easily be using Malaysia or Ilva, but they're just not easily accessible to me. And I don't think, you know, that's not as important. Like, we deliver a good finish with the ICA. It looks great. So
I think that's the biggest deciding factor for those coatings is, like, do you have – is it readily available, and do you have great customer service and a knowledgeable rep?
Yeah.
Because they're all kind of pretty much the same.
They kind of are. Well, I mean, it's almost like the TDS was, like, copy-pasted.
Yeah.
Like, you look at it and, like, you're like, really? It's like wallpaper companies now. Same thing. Every install instruction is, like, the exact same. You're like, okay, it's copy-paste.
Yeah, there's just one giant factory in Italy producing, like, five brands of 2K Poly.
Totally, yeah. Totally.
Yeah. So, airless there. So, have you moved away from your pressure pots?
Yeah, except for spray stain. Yeah, so we toned that island the other day, and we use pressure pots for that, and for glazing. You know, you've got, I mean, it's mostly cup guns, to be honest. I've got like five set of cup guns, and they're really the go-tos. But for an island or places, you have, like, if you're spray stain, you really want dexterity. If I had to spray stain a bunch of cabinet doors and they were on the turntable, I'd just be using the cup gun. But if I have to do an island and stuff like that, I'm going to use a pressure pot or a railing or something like that, because I don't think the cup gun is really going to do it.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah. But it's pretty rare, man. I busted out the pressure pot 2 weeks ago, and that was the first time in like over a year. I got a bunch for sale if anybody wants some.
Yeah, I have one too. Yeah, I mean, totally. My pressure pots have been just sitting.
Yeah, yeah. So, but they are useful once in a while. So, yeah.
What's your favorite soda gun?
The one with my dog on it and my kids.
Yeah. Didn't you get that right before they stopped selling them?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. I wanted to get a custom DK one.
Yeah.
And they were like, at the time, they were like, they're not doing it anymore.
Yeah. I called him and he's like, I think they've stopped. And I was like, just see what you can do, man. Like, so anyway, they did it, which was awesome. It's a 5,000 and it's a great gun.
Yeah. Yeah.
4,000, 5,000. They're all really great guns. I would spray anything through any of them. If I'm going to do the 2K solvent high gloss, I'll use the 5,000. I think it's maybe it has a little bit more of an edge. But
yeah.
I haven't used the 5,500, so I can't speak for that.
Are you using the RPS cups, the PPS cups, the just regular metal cup?
Yeah, the PPS 2.
PPS 2.
The new one, yeah. So I like it because you can measure on the side of the thing, so there's less waste.
Yeah.
Less in containers. The lids are a bit more wasteful, but that's okay. Yeah, I really like that system. And there's a big hole on the top, so that's my pressure feed if I need it. If I'm spraying 2K through there, water-based. I told you that. It's really good. It works. I
saved yourself $550 in a pressure cup for soda.
Totally. I mean, it's pretty rare we have to redo a door, but if we have to redo it, then that's how we do it. Yeah.
That's how we do touch-ups, too. But I went and bought the the pressure, to be fair, I absolutely love the pressure cup from Saga.
I'm sure. Yeah. I might get one day. Yeah.
It's a dream. I actually just got a second one the other day.
It must be quite a unique feeling to have it through a cup gun.
Yeah. You're spraying. I sprayed Eco Primer through a 1.3. No sweat.
That's insane. Yeah.
It's insane. You know, you stick the sticks in it. It's vertical. And when you do the stir stick, you put mud into a cup.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it sprays it great.
Totally, yeah.
You know, with 10 PSI of fluid.
Yeah, I know. It's awesome. One second. I'm just going to.
That's a beautiful painting. His children have serious talent. If you guys are not watching this and listening, you're missing out on some unbelievable artwork in the background.
Yeah, it's so good.
What's green tape on the light for?
Oh, it's broken, and my son likes to put stuff in there. Safety feature.
That's frog tape. That's a new ad for frog tape.
It is frog tape. It's either that or Phoenixa. We only use two types of tape, 1.5-inch frog tape and 1.5-inch Phoenixa. And those are the only 2 tapes we use.
I love it. We only use 2 tapes as well.
Yeah. So.
What else are we doing for efficiencies that you think is unique?
I don't know. I think someone mentioned being organized. That helps, having all the sustainers, all the lights, like in bags. You know, I can bring like 6 lights over my shoulders into a house at once now, instead of like, you know, the old halogens. Like you're like, yeah, it's so streamlined tools is good. One thing that I would like to improve on for efficiency is, I can't stand the fact that the dust extractors that we use don't have like extra bag storage and better hose and tool storage. So like the Merca dust extractors are fantastic, but they don't have storage for any of it. If I had to do it all over again, and I've been thinking about getting rid of all my dust extractors and getting all brand new MIDIs because they have the hose storage, but it's still not like big enough.
No, it's barely enough room.
Yeah, and that's so frustrating because that's not efficient. Yeah, just sit there and, yeah. So,